Award-winning author Tracy Hester wears many hats that fuel her heart and feed her soul. Next to her children and new grandson, she's passionate about teaching the Word of God. She is committed to serving women who find themselves starting over again due to life's circumstances. Her message focuses on God's redemptive plan for their lives. Tracy values living out her faith daily and knows the importance of freely embracing and moving in your God-created purpose. Today, I am going to talk to my friend Tracy about her second book, Get Up Girl, Let's Go, Getting Unstuck and Living Free, which won the Advanced Writers Speakers Association Golden Scroll Christian Living Book of the Year in 2022. And reached number 6 in Amazon's women's issues and remained in the Amazon top 100 bestsellers in women's issues. I am so excited to have Tracy here. We're going to talk specifically about her story, of course, and what makes her remarkable, what she's remarking in her life on a daily basis that leads her to wholeheartedness, right? That leads her to her beautiful future freedom in Christ. And we're going to talk about a subject we haven't really talked about here a lot, stuckness. And I love the way that Tracy frames her own stuckness in her life, and I know that it's going to be such a blessing to you. Tracy Hester, I am so happy to have you here. I really am. It has taken us
so excited to be here.
It has taken us so long to make this happen.
I know. I'll never forget the day I met you.
Oh no.
It was a God thing. It really was
a God thing. That was a great conference. We were at the ASA, Advanced Writers Speakers Association.
Yes. Yeah. And your friendly face was the first person that just loved on me.
I think I'm going
to cry. New to the conference.
You were new.
I was feeling like a fish out of water, and your smiling face just...
I really am tearing up because I just...
Wonderful.
The minute I met you, my heart was just like, oh my God, this woman is so radiant. Radiant from Daniel 12:3, radiant. You know, just the beautiful light of Christ. And it was an absolute joy. And as conferences go, we didn't really get massive amounts of time together because there's just so much going on at that one, particularly with the being linked to, you know, book publishers and all that jazz and interviews and blah, 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 all the stuff that we arduously do to get our books out into people's hands. But I knew it was a heart connection. I knew you were an absolute heart lifter. And I'm just really grateful to have you back in my life right now today, for sure. And I hope to work with you more and more in the future. I really do. I hope that that is something God has up his sleeve, if he would be so kind.
Yes, I feel the same way. It's a blessing. Thank you for having me on your podcast today.
Well, you have had a lot going on. I've already let them know, our beautiful heart lifters, that this is, we're going to be talking about your second book. And I love the name, Get Up, Get Up Girl. How do you put the emphasis? Get up, girl. It's get up, girl. How do you do it?
Girl.
It's girl.
Girl. Let's go.
Let's go. Getting unstuck and living free. It really is so good. Your first book. Tell us about your first book and shine the cover on for our YouTubers.
My first book, All Things New, Discovering God's Peace and Protection at All Times. And you know,
oh
actually,
my gosh, it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's there's a woman, and you can see she's really all colors.
She is.
And her hands are lifted up.
I know. My favorite posture.
Yeah, because she's worshiping, but also lifting up because she needs the Lord. And I saw her and I said, that's me. That because when I was writing this book, Janelle, I was walking through a divorce.
I know, and, Tracy, Hester. I know. We're going to dive in. Let's just go right ahead and dive in then. You segue right there for me. I do want to preface. I just wanted to say one of the reasons that we have had a little bit of trouble is because you've had a lot of good going on in your life. You just got remarried. Yeah. So I want to lead with that because you had told me before, like, I really don't want to talk about divorce anymore. I really just want to talk about happy, happy, happy. And I'm doing well and I've been redeemed. Praise God.
Right.
What God said to you, what did he tell you?
Yeah, he told me that I wasn't released from talking about divorce. I honestly did not want to be known as the woman that writes about divorce. I'm not an advocate of divorce. I did not want a divorce.
Of course.
Raised in the church, knew what the word says, but I had to walk through that. So it was kind of one of those things where, let me just get over this. I don't even want to talk about it, think about it anymore.
Right. 24 years of marriage is nothing, nothing to sneeze at. It's very, very, but it's very typical, sadly.
Right.
They say at the 25 year mark, the kids are gone, empty nest. This happens far more than we might want to recognize it. So I want to bring this topic to the table today because I think your story is so rich with redemption.
Yes.
You know, so help us understand. Here you are, 24 years of marriage. How many children did you have? Do you have?
Yeah, I have 2 children. My daughter, Courtney, is 29. She's married, and I have a wonderful grandbaby, Quincy. He's 16 months, and he's the love of my life.
How many months?
16 months.
Oh, my gosh. You're ahead of me just a bit. So sweet.
He's a love bug. And then my son, CJ, he is 27 years old. And I have 2 amazing kids.
I'm God so happy.
The Bible says that all things work together for good, right?
They do.
And that is such a good part of my life. Even when I was walking through a horrific time in my life, that that was good. So God is
so they would have been how old when that awareness of divorce was happening?
Well, actually, my son was about to graduate from high school. So he was 18.
Yikes.
And my daughter was going into her junior year of college.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was a hard time. I remember, Janelle, dropping my son off at college. And the feeling that I had in the pit of my stomach was, how can I just drop him off and leave him when I can't even help him navigate through his own pain? And 18,
a
boy doesn't really identify with his pain anyway. But I just remember this feeling in my stomach of, God, please. Help us, help him. And I would say that year was the worst year of his life. I remember picking him up from the dorm and I said, I can't do that again. I can't just leave him. But you know, everything was planned. He had gotten accepted.
Sure. It's all set in stone.
You know, and then he's told me later in life that, Mom, I think that was actually a good thing because I think if I were home, I would not have been able to really focused like I did. And, but at the same time, he apologized because he said, I kind of avoided you because I didn't know how to identify with the pain that you were going through.
Wow. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, how did, none of us know how to navigate that.
Nobody.
So how did that, I really wanted to make sure that we bring up the fact that your daughter was pivotal, that she brought in a pivotal moment to kind of awaken you, or how would you describe that? Tell us about that moment.
So my daughter decided to come home. She was staying in the dorms, but she decided to come home her junior year. I think in a way she just wanted to be around me.
Yeah.
So she saw me, even though, you know, Janelle, I thought I was a master hider. I thought.
Hyper-functioning.
Faking it. I don't want to see, I want my daughter. I want her to, you know, feel safe. I thought that I was really faking it.
And you're working a full-time job. Let's talk about, you have a career of 30 years here. So you have a full-time job. You got to keep it going.
You know how sometimes spiritually we can hide, right? That God is good. Everything's okay.
Praise the Lord.
She saw right through me.
Well, she's a good girl.
I woke up and there was a note on the kitchen counter. It was written on a napkin.
Oh, I love it.
A napkin, and she said, Mom, I need you to survive.
What?
And I broke. I said, well, first of all, obviously I'm not a good faker. Okay. She saw
not to someone who knows you well. And you just told me she's completing her doctorate in psychology. Yes. So this girl has an astute sense of things. Yes.
She does. She does.
Like her mama.
She left me the note and I broke into tears.
I
broke into tears because I thought that the way that I was handling the divorce and processing my pain was a good way. But I realized at that point that God had a different path for me on how to heal. And it wasn't the direction that I was going. So that note was very pivotal for me. And I had to look at myself and say, man, I'm not really being honest about my pain.
Wow.
How much really this hurts me and how disappointed and how afraid I am. And the emotions, you know, the range of emotions that go when you go through a divorce, I wasn't allowing myself to process them, Janelle. It was like, I don't know, you maybe you have worked. I mean, well, of course, you know, all the time, but.
Well, I think you're high functioning. We say this a lot in this community that women who have, especially women have been reared in the theology that we've been reared in 40 years for myself, 44, you know, how many years we were reared in this theology that divorce is a sin. Divorce is, you know, a badge of disgrace and shame. And I've shared a little bit of my own story of how, you know, Rob was married like 16 months before I met him, and his wife had an affair and it was very horrible. And, you know, but I was at the time, 39 years ago, it was, you don't do that. It's a bad, right? So you're trained in that. You love God. You don't want to disappoint God. You had a good heart with all of that, right?
Right. And you're so right, you know, about the high functioning part, because I think for me, it was such a deep level of disappointment because I felt like in every area of my life, I was doing okay. I was, you know, somewhat successful, you know, on my job. I was winning trips and doing well in sales. And I was a mother and trying to be a good wife. So I was feeling like I was doing everything okay, Janelle, but yet my marriage fell apart. And it was something for the first time that I felt like I couldn't fix. You know, everything, I could fix it. It was above.
Can you share more about that? It was above your pay grade of fixing. Can you, above the pay grade, man, I get it. I have been there so many times. But what, you know, if you want, you share whatever is on your heart to share. But just, I know that there are heartlifters listening who are in what you call the tar pit, and we will get to that soon.
Yeah.
Stuck, a little confused, not sure what to do. But maybe they're feeling as well, I can't fix this.
Right, right.
What does that feel and look like?
Well, it was, I'll just be honest.
Please.
It was during that season that I realized I had some serious control issues.
Okay, thank you. All right.
God, I was praying one day and I, you know, I don't remember the prayer exactly, but I think the prayer was something like, God, you know, hey, you know, I'm a good Christian woman and
I got it going.
I love you. And why me? You know, it was this victim mentality.
Oh, yeah, sure.
God asked me a question and he says, do you trust me? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I had to be honest. And I said, you know what, God, I trust you with 80% of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
20%, I don't. Yeah. I don't trust you with this because of the deep level of pain that I was going through for the first time in my life, this level. And I felt like, God, are you really with me? Are you protecting me?
Mm-hmm.
And all the good things that I've done, why me? You know?
Sure, exactly. I've checked my boxes. I'm doing my daily studies. I'm at church. I'm doing everything. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. We relate.
Right. And then, you know, it was during that season where, you know, I was walking through a divorce, but my sister was getting married.
Oh, wow.
And so there was some joy, a lot of joy going on. And so she had gotten married and started going to a new church. And she asked me and my mom to go to a retreat with her, the late evening retreat. And so we went. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to go, but I wanted to support my sister.
Oh, that's so kind.
There was a speaker at the retreat. And she was talking about Eve. But then I just heard God, because God during the season, God just starts speaking to me, Janelle. I mean, like never before. I think that that was his way of reminding me how much he loved me. And he was leading me on a journey to heal. And he said, you need to get to know her. And I was thinking,
get to know the speaker.
And I said, okay. And you know how we can have our biases and things.
Oh, said, yes.
What would she have to offer?
What she got to teach me? I can teach what she's teaching.
Right.
Let's be real.
Yeah, pride. Uh-huh. Okay. And so I was obedient. So after the, you know, there was a break. And so I went up to her and I introduced myself. And I said, you know, as I was sitting there, God told me I needed to get to know you. And she said, what do you do? And she said, well, I'm a biblical prayer counselor.
Oh.
And she began to tell me what that was. And so she counsels through prayer.
Uh-huh.
And I knew immediately I needed that because I had been through some counseling. But
okay. I was going to ask that question. Had you and your husband gone through counseling as well?
Yes. But I hadn't.
Alone, individually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that whatever she was offering, I needed it. So going back to what we were talking about, what she showed me as I counseled with her for 2 years.
I love that.
She led me on a healing process to let me know some issues of my own heart that I needed to deal with. And one was, I had some trust issues with God.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think if we're honest, we would all say we do.
Yeah, I had some trust issues with God. I grew up in the church. I think there was a little bit of tradition there.
Mm-hmm.
But what my time with her taught me was relationship.
Mm.
How do I do relationship?
Yeah.
How do I take everything that I have learned for since 5 years old being in the church and put it into practice? How does it become reality? How do I experience God's love? Not just know about it in my head,
sure.
but I have to go through a journey to experience his love.
Mm-hmm.
I went on that journey, not knowing where it would lead, but that was the best decision I've ever made.
Wow.
Go on that journey. And through that journey, I had to, it's like an onion. Some layers, which I talk a lot about in my book of all the layers that I had to unpeel. I'm so thankful that God sent me through that. You know, during the time it was very fearful. I was afraid. I didn't know where it would go because of control. Right.
And I love that you have, you know, let's go, not let go, but let's go. In the title, I love that. It's a play on words in a sense to me anyway. That's how I take it. So just to help clarify for those listening who I know have questions and who are like, I need to know more. Was this an erosion over years or was it a sudden something that happened in the marriage? Had you thought before this isn't working? Why did marriage counseling not work? As I say, always. You say what you want to say and protect all parties. Ethical storytelling here.
It was definitely erosion over years.
Okay.
And not having the skills at the time to handle conflict.
I get that.
And I believe for me, and I'll just speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened to me, Janelle, is I lost myself. Consumed with being a wife and being a mother, and Tracy was lost.
Yeah. How did that happen? Like, what does that look like? Can you paint us a real vivid idea of how you got lost?
I didn't care for the issues of my heart.
Mm.
Yeah. I would stuff things. I would suck it up.
Suck it up, buttercup.
That, you know, I don't want to cause confusion. So I'm not going to express my pain or my disappointment. It's almost like I wasn't a human anymore. I became this human being and I was a human being.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense for sure. Was it in the back of your mind? Like, I can't really be myself or care for myself, because if I do, everything will come unglued. And our family, like what I would think in the forefront of your mind, it's like, we can't lose our family.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely that, because no one really had divorced in my family.
Oh, no. Yeah. Mm.
So I saw a model, my parents, very healthy model. Okay. My sister was married. So me, it's like, you just need to figure it out and work it out.
Yeah, that's tough. Legacy.
Right. And so somewhere in my life, I felt like it was maybe weak or unhealthy to express my pain.
Yeah.
And in marriage, I couldn't express my pain for some reason.
What would happen if you did? Or do you know, you might not even know because you didn't do it.
I didn't really do it, but he expressed his a lot. And so it's like, okay, well, let me deal with this. But when I expressed it, it was sound like a buildup, then an explosion.
Sure. Like,
a pain. So definitely just unhealthy. So I realized that as I went on this healing journey that, man, why am I not comfortable with expressing the issues of my own heart? But what I realized, Janelle, I have to learn the issues of my heart.
You do. Exactly. You got to find their names. Like, what is this? What is this all about? Why, you know, now I have a lot of language. You know, I have a language that I can put on things. So I was a massive repressor, and I was a repressor because I was a people pleaser, because I wanted, one layer of the onion under another, and I'm still peeling the onion away. I'm like, will I ever stop peeling the onion? Yes. Right.
There you go. And me too, people pleaser. I remember one day I was in counseling and she asked me, she said, you know, we're going to have to deal with that fear that you're dealing with. And I looked at her like, fear? What? Exactly. What are you talking about? I said, I'm not afraid. Right. You know, like, what was the movie? Ghostbusters. I'm not afraid of any ghosts.
I'm afraid? Know? No, exactly. I'm armed. I'm good.
Right. I had a wrong concept of fear. You know, I knew I was afraid of mice and
spiders. Right.
The fear she was talking about, I wasn't in touch with. Mm. And so I think—
Can you explain that? Yeah. Can you like, love painting pictures here. So what kind of fear was it? Fear of—
The internal fear. My fear was the internal fear of loss. It was the internal fear of what it would look like if I divorced. It was the internal fear of I would be by myself. What would I do?
Oh, big one.
It was the internal fear of, I don't know if I could trust God, right? It was the internal fear of, since God hates divorce, he will hate me too.
Oh, just hold on for a second. Take a moment. If God hates divorce, then he will hate me.
He will hate me.
Dang, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fear. And I think my greatest fear was I didn't want to disappoint God.
I know. I was hoping you would say that. I know.
I want to disappoint him. And so I had gotten to the place in the marriage where I'm just going to suck it up, you know, because I know God will honor my sacrifice and I'm going to just be a godly woman and I'm going to take it to the Lord. I was really at that point.
And, you know, which is so honorable. Like, it's an honest, innocent, beautiful, honorable stance.
Yeah. But you know what? That was Tracy. That wasn't what God was wanting. Yeah. Really, what he wanted from me was he wanted me to heal.
Yeah. Which is hard to wrap your head around, Tracy, right? It's like, this is where I think a lot of us get stuck. And we're going to talk about this real tar pit of stuckness, because we get stuck in our assumptions or our preconceived notions, our preconditioning, that of course God would want me to stay in this ridiculously difficult situation. We can't, like, the bridge to cross here, which is really hard to cross in counseling and coaching others, is that, well, maybe he does want that, but it seems like so wrong. Like, God, why would God want me to walk through a divorce?
Yeah. You know, I think it's so much bigger than divorce.
Please talk to us about this. It's so critical. I think a lot of ahas and a lot of freedom is going to come from this conversation.
You know, I used to think that divorce was the unpardonable sin.
Yes.
But then God really began to love on me in a way to show me that He's not concerned about my marital status, whether I'm single, divorced, separated, or whatever. He's really concerned about my heart.
He really
is. My heart is where I connect with Him. My heart is where the relationship happens. That's where we flow. You know, I had an internal heart attack, not physical, but a heart attack emotionally.
Yes. Right?
There were so many blockages and things, and He wanted to do like massive surgery on me to walk and heal my broken heart. I had a broken heart. And actually, you know, as I was writing my book, Janelle, I realized that my broken heart actually started when I was in fourth grade.
Tell us about that, because one of your tenets for this book, which I appreciate so much, is about really looking into the family generational dysfunction. We call that epigenetics. Right. Huge part of the work that I do every day of my life with people is to really be able to trace the roots. And right. So, okay, fourth grade, how on earth did it take you back there?
Well, I remembered a couple things. I remember not being chosen.
Ooh.
So I have a brother. We're 18 months apart. He was very athletic. And so, of course, I'm going to follow my brother. But, you know, we were always in athletics. And I remember at recess, we would play kickball. I wasn't good at kickball. Oh, at the ball, yes. At kickball, I wasn't. And so nobody would choose me for the team.
Oh, gosh, Tracy.
You know, even being young, my brother would always choose me because he didn't want me to feel bad. But I wouldn't be chosen.
Right. And he had to choose you, basically, you're thinking, right?
I had to choose you, but that was okay. That was okay. But I realized it was at that point where I felt like I wasn't good enough in an area. So if I'm not good enough in an area, I have to do whatever I need to do to make myself better. So to me, I became this person that performed well.
Oh, yes.
If I perform well, I'll be chosen.
So, oh, what a preconditioning. Whoa, say it one more time.
Yeah, if I perform well, I'll be chosen, I'll be accepted, and I'll be loved.
Oh, dear God.
And so it started there, Janelle, but then I remember in high school, let me just back up and say, so over the summer, what I would do is I would work hard on kickball. And so
I was going to say, I bet you practiced the heck out of kickball. You got good.
I got really good because
that's a high functioner there. See?
Yeah. That if I want to be loved and accepted, I have to perform. And when I got into high school, it was the same thing. I wanted to be a cheerleader.
Oh boy.
But I played basketball too. So I was better in basketball than I was at cheerleading. So I didn't make the cheerleading squad. Mm. And I was very disappointed.
I bet.
Just so happened that one of the girls dropped out, and then they asked me to take her place. So I was chosen. I was chosen.
Right.
And then when I met my spouse at the time, my ex-husband, I wasn't his first choice.
Oh,
we
wow.
were at a party, and he was interested in another girl.
Oh, wow.
She wasn't interested in him, but then he came over to me. So I was the second choice.
And was this high school?
No, that was when I got married. So the pattern, I was just speaking to the pattern.
Okay, right, exactly. Okay.
It's being second choice. And that became.
And you knew that, you were conscious of that. Wow.
Well, no, actually, at the time I wasn't. When I became conscious of it was when I started writing my book.
Okay.
I looked at the patterns of how subtly it creeped into my life of performance, performance-based love.
Yes.
And the reality of it, really, I'm going to weep when God just began to show me, I don't want you to perform for love anymore.
No, it's so exhausting.
Do that with, oh, it's so exhausting.
So exhausting.
Yes. And so he began to just lead me on this journey to show me his unconditional love and really what love is all about. And that transformed my life.
It will. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I come from a family, a very loving family, so it wasn't something that ingrained in my parents, you know.
Right. It wasn't from your family of origin. You have very secure attachment. It's fun. We've been talking a little bit more in some conversations about that you can grow and have a very healthy family of origin, have strong, secure attachment, but yet we still have these shadow sides, right? And we live in a culture where we have to perform. You know, where it's just performance-based culture.
Yeah.
It so really is. I mean,
work, right?
Yeah.
On a performance standard, right?
Yes.
At the end of the year, you're graded. So you're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
So you came by it honestly, you know, in just life and situations and personality traits. Exactly. Take me then to that love. I really just want to ask, this was not something you and I pre-planned.
Okay.
But I too last year really had a very challenging situation that led me to understand the love of God in a way I can't hardly even express yet.
Yeah.
And for me, it started with 1 John 4:7 at 3 a.m. right here on this floor in a massive cry out to God. And he said, very rarely do I actually hear him go, read that verse.
Yeah.
Rarely in my 63 years of life. But I heard him go to 1 John 4. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading through it, I believe it's verse 16. I always get a little confused. But it said, I know and believe the love that God has for me.
Yeah.
And in the circumstance I was in, I said to myself, well, obviously I don't know the love of God. Mm. I have no clue.
Yeah.
So what was it for you? Was it just this, like a wooing, just those whispers to your heart? Like, girl, I want you to feel chosen.
Yeah. I wish it started that way. I would say later on, it became that, but really how it started was desperation.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I had exhausted myself. I was sick and tired of just how things was. And it was a all out cry to God that help.
I love this, Tracy, so much. Thank you.
Help. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day because even when I think about it, I tear up.
I'm so
you know, thankful. As I was walking through, it was like I was functionally depressed.
Sure. I would think. Yeah.
But, you know, it was like I was functionally depressed, but I'm still going to do what God told me to do. And I remember Psalms 91 where it says, go into the secret place.
Yes.
After work, I could go to work. I could do my job.
Could function.
I would function, but I would come home. There was nobody at home. Both kids were in college. I would go into my room and I would shut my door.
Yes. I love
would
this.
Spend time weeping, crying out to God. God, I need to see that you're real. You know, don't you see I'm dying? You know,
help.
It was a desperation. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day, for some reason, I remembered the book by Benny Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit.
Oh,
I don't know if you've heard of that book.
I have, yes.
And that book just came to me. And
okay.
I remember seeing it in my daughter's room. So I went into her room, grabbed it, and got back into my bed in my secret place, and I started reading.
Wow.
And I think it was like page 54, I'll never forget. And Benny Hinn was saying, you know, how the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and that you need to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, Janelle, I leaned back in my bed. I had to hit the book here. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need to know that you're real.
I'm giving you permission.
I need an upgrade.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, I love that.
An upgrade, because where I was,
it ain't working.
And I said, I'm taking you at your word. If I ask you, I just need for you to come and shift some things. And like you, I had this encounter. and I'm pretty dignified.
Yeah, I get it.
But I had fallen on my knees at the side of my bed, and I stayed there for 20 minutes crying.
Thank you so much for helping us here.
Mm-hmm. But what I felt was happening, it was like God was coming to me in a way that I had never experienced. I could just feel his love. Mm. And I can say from that place forward, I began to transition in a way where I processed his love different. Mm-hmm. I began to see divorce different.
Wow. It's like you put on a brand new prescription pair of glasses.
Really, mm-hmm. You know, the scripture talks about what the Holy Spirit can do. Man, the Holy Spirit came and shined some light on me. Mm-hmm. That was the best healing light that I've ever encountered.
And she gave him permission, gave her permission, whoever you gave the Holy Spirit permission.
Never will forget that.
That's a risk. That is a very courageous moment of desperation, though. So it takes a great amount of courage. So heart lifters, lean in here. This is our teaching moment. I'm so grateful to Tracy for sharing the nitty gritty, for letting us peek behind the curtain and understand the anguish and the fear and all the things that are so overwhelming, yet we function. I know my heart lifters, we're high functioners. We are dignified. We work every day on value, worth, and dignity. But when it comes to really making a life shift, a transition that perhaps God is inviting you into that makes no sense.
No sense.
It might seem to even go against every ounce of your theology, your sense, all of those things. There are those moments, you know, and you have helped us understand that the bravest thing that we can do is fall on our knees and just say, help me.
Yeah.
And give God some room. We're coming into Lent. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taping this the day before Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. This will air during Lent for sure, because I feel like you're inviting us into, you're ushering us into, Tracy, you know, to get up, girl. Let's go. It's time to get unstuck and live free. I think that's a prophetic word from your title to our ears. And perhaps carve out that necessary time. You were forced into that secret place. You really were.
Yeah.
It wasn't a choice. It wasn't voluntary. But you yielded.
Yes, I did. Because I didn't feel there was another option, Janelle.
Correct.
I did.
I agree.
And I wanted, I believe that the Lord could heal me. And but you know, what I discovered in just the whole process, even though that was like the start of this like healing journey that God was taking me on, mm-hmm. is man, you know, he just wanted to show me how much he loves me. And whoa, you know, like in the scripture that talks about how when one of the sheep go astray, he leaves 99 and he goes after him. And then there's another scripture that talks that he's near to the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think that brokenness was a sign of weakness, but you know, I got to the point where I said, God, mm-hmm. if I have to stay broken in heart for you to be near, I'll stay broken.
Won't because you though? I know.
Your nearness is what's going to heal me anyway. And so, you know, the brokenness is not where we are experiencing pain, but the brokenness is I need. There's a
being
need.
Broken open. Right. A heart's being broken open. Okay, heart lifters, we are going to take pause here because my conversation with Tracy is jam-packed. And as I said earlier, I've been holding on to this conversation and just waiting for the right time. And now is the time. I thought it's Valentine's Day. So I wanted to talk about Tracy's marriage, her remarriage, the divorce, the angst, the ups and downs of love, the reality of relationships, but it is also Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season. So part one, primarily focusing on love, relationships, marriage, how to get unstuck, and then part two will bring just beautiful messages of hope and life and joy. We're pausing here. I hope that you take some time to consider the beautiful things that Tracy has brought to our conversation table. Please join me over on Instagram at Janelle Reardon or over on our Substack at Heartlift Central, where the conversation will continue to go. Share my heart a little bit here. I've been going through some medical testing. My body has been speaking to me and asking me to pay attention to it once again. And so I have not been as present on social media or over on Substack, but I will be. I will be. And I am so looking forward to this 40-day process of Lent and working a little behind the curveball, but that's okay. It's really all okay. I always want to be an authentic presence in your life, and I'm just going to bring to you what I can bring to you in this space, in this moment in my life, in this season of my life. If you can, it would be so appreciated if you could make a donation to help support the podcast. You can go over to JanelleReardon.com/heartlift-international and support us by making a donation of any size. They are tax deductible and would be most appreciated. You can also support the podcast through Substack by becoming a member of our community there. There's a small monthly fee, or you can make an annual payment or even become a founding member. Any way, shape, or form that you can offer support would be so, so appreciated. Please leave a review. Once again, I'll give you all of those instructions in the show notes. I'm asking because it will help us grow our sphere of influence, and that I know is what each and every one of us want. We want to bring God's good, great, remarkable, astounding word, his presence, his truth to as many people as we possibly can. So thanks for listening and stay tuned for part two next week.